This is Dog Tales. I'm Billy Featherstone, your host. You all knew that. Today, we're talking about social life. And when I came up with the idea for this episode, what I was really thinking about is how hard it is to make friends at such a large university, especially at a competitive one. So I'm hoping that sharing my experiences and other people's experiences can maybe lessen the magnitude of this intimidating task we all must face in going to college or really going anywhere. So I'm very excited because our first guest had an experience much like my own, and the second had a very different freshman year. So I'm gonna let Jack, our first guest, do most of the speaking for me, because much of what he has to say is what I'd also want to share with you, and also because he's just funnier than me. Why don't you tell me what your first impression was of the school when you came here?
Well, I lived on campus freshman year. I don't know. The dorms are like super dead. Mm-hmm. No one. I lived in Elm Hall. I guess it was kind of my fault because I didn't go super out of my way to try to meet people. And it might be easier to meet others if you do that. But no one in my hall, like on my floor, ever just like opened their door to hang out or anything. I think I said hi to one person when I was walking down the hall once. And it was like a 2-second conversation because they were playing music. And I was like, hey, I like that song. And he was like, cool, man. And then I never talked to him again. So
not even like in the elevator? You didn't like talk to people?
Like awkward conversations, okay, yeah. Not like real conversations. It's not like you're ever just in the elevator and you're like, oh, by the way, we should hang out sometime, person who lives on floor 3.
That happened to me a few times.
Really?
Yeah. Like maybe I'm just more social and friendly.
You didn't know them beforehand and you met them in 5 seconds and they're like,
a girl that I'm still friends with today, I met in an elevator.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, back to our segue. So then you changed things, right? I mean, you got involved in clubs.
Oh, yeah.
You're super popular now.
Oh, I'm so popular.
So tell me about some of your clubs and, like, how you got into them.
Well, I wanted to do a club. Well, okay, so when I came here, I didn't really know what Greek life was about. So that was, like, an option floating in my head. And then I, like, kind of rushed this one frat. And then, I don't know, frat life I don't want. It's not for me. I don't know. You're just, like, with those dudes all the time, and I just need, like, a break.
Yeah.
Sometimes I go through periods where I, like, hate people, and then I love people, and then I hate people, and then I love people, and, like, I couldn't be surrounded by the same dudes all the time, you know? And so then I was like, okay, well, I got to join, like, a club. I think the first club I joined was UW Comedy Club, sponsored.
Shout out.
To our meetings Wednesday, Savory Hall at 6:30. Okay.
Nice.
And, yeah. and that was super fun because I, like, knew I wanted to try, like, comedy. And then I had a bunch of people who had, like, similar interests as me because, you know, like, when you're just meeting people on the street, they could be... They could have no interest in you, and you like hang out, and you're just like forcing hanging out. Like that's what I feel like. A lot of people you first meet freshman year is like the first people you meet. You just latch onto, and they don't even like maybe have the same interests as you, or are into the same thing. So you're just kind of forcing it, and I don't think you should have to do that for a friendship. So. Being in a club really puts you in a space where you can meet a lot of people who want to do the same things as you. And so that's Comedy Club. That was super dope. I'm still with them. And then there is Husky Winter Sports, which you might know something about. And like, that was a club where it's like, because it was so involved, it's like my life really went in like my freshman year, did like a 180 when I joined Huskies. Like, I tried out with my friend. Like, freshman year, I pretty much hung out with my roommate and my one other friend. And, like, I love them to death. But when you hang out with the same two people, like, every day for 2.5 months, you just run out of things to do and stuff. And so then being in that club, it gave me something. Well, you're doing something on the weekends every single weekend of winter quarter because you're skiing all the time. And then... you just automatically have this giant network of friends that you can hang out with whenever you want to do something. and just having that is super fun. And just having, like, I don't know, something to go to and do on Friday night or Saturday night instead of just chilling in the dorms is so nice.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, like what you said about people, like, latching on to the friends they make freshman year. I totally had a group of friends freshman year, and we didn't really branch out at all, and we kind of just hung out with each other. And then this year was, like, the first year I decided, like, okay, I'm going to do something bigger and try and get involved in something else. And that was Husky Winter Sports. And it's totally true. It just, like, changes your whole experience. And then just, like, having a group of people all the time to hang out with, like you said. And then especially when it's associated with UW, it just makes you feel way closer to the school. Like,
definitely.
Now I actually feel like a part of this community, which
now I'm like
is really
actually glad I came here.
Right, know? Exactly.
Because I was seriously doubting it, like, fall quarter freshman year, because I saw all, like, the Snapchat stories of my friends who went to ASU or U of A, and they all had tons of friends immediately because they just knew a bunch of people who were there because of, like, different high schools.
Right.
And, like, I didn't have that because literally no one from my high school has ever been here, and I'm the only person from my high school to go here. So I didn't know. I literally didn't know anyone.
Seriously, it's just, like, you have to force yourself to go to, like, one meeting or, you know, try out for one club, and then that's the hard part, and then it's over.
Yeah.
And then you're good.
You just keep going. Like, just find a club you enjoy, and then you have something to look forward to every week. Because you need some hobby. Like, I don't give a fuck what your major is. You're really into whatever. I'm in engineering. I don't care if you're... I'm not super into engineering. I couldn't care less if I invented anything in my entire life. Like, it's just a money source, you know? Like, you need a hobby to do, or else it's like, why are you doing anything? Yeah.
Agreed. So how do you feel like the social atmosphere was different, like, either just here or in college in general compared to high school? Like, was it easier to meet people? Was it harder? Was it way better? Was it worse? Was it the same?
I think college, and just as you get older, it's way harder to meet people. Because, like, when you're in high school or before that even, you're just, like, in a confined room with a bunch of people. It doesn't really matter if you like them or not, because you see them every single day for, like, 8 hours. And I mean, especially for me, because I went to a small school, so I literally knew everyone when I graduated. My class size was 69.
Wow, that's really small, though.
It was going to be 70, but then we killed someone to make it 69.
Cool. Okay, fair enough.
Or it was 68, and then we gave birth to someone to make it 69.
Are you the dad?
What?
Are you the dad?
I'm the mom, actually.
Oh.
And the dad.
Oh, wow.
Adopted.
Okay.
By myself.
Cute. So you can drink your thing. Oh, I want to hear the click. It's going to...
Can I put it in the mic?
Yeah. Ooh.
Oh, nice. By Monster. Can we get sponsored?
Can we get sponsored straight up?
If I just, like, keep saying sponsorships, does that how work?
I wish. I don't think enough people listen.
Audible.com.
Keep going.
Listen.
Is that even
to
Monster?
The books.
That's not even Monster, is it?
Oh, look at the M.
Whoa, I've never seen a can like that before.
Yeah, it's like a Grateful Dead can.
Okay. I was going to ask you if you had any advice to give to incoming freshmen.
Don't join a frat or sorority if you don't want to, because you'll find other ways to make friends. So don't feel like you need to be pressured into doing that.
It might take longer. I feel like it takes longer.
Definitely it'll take longer, but the reward, I think, is higher. It's like a frat or a sorority. It's like, I'll pay this fee. Now you have instant friends. Yeah.
Straight up. So the reason I wanted Jack on here was because he did exactly what I did, but an entire year before I thought to. I mean, I made the effort to talk to people in my dorm and in my classes and all that as a freshman, but I still let myself remain comfortable by never, you know, going to parties, like, or club meetings, like, alone or with new people, or by actually scheduling anything with my classmates. But now that I've forced myself to attend club tryouts solo or ask dudes out on dates, because, yeah, I do that sometimes, go me, or gotten the numbers of my classmates, I see that meeting people is so easy as long as you just push yourself a little bit and like have those 3 seconds of bravery. But I mean, yeah, the truth is I feel like most people want to make friends too. They're all just, you know, busy or shy or think that other people find them annoying or weird. So yay. Okay. Thank you, Jack. And next up is Elle. I'm talking to Elle Gross and she is a junior.
Mm-hmm. I'm doubling in early childhood and family studies and then communications.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. Right. Elle used to be in a sorority, which is the main subject of our conversation today. So, okay, cool. So, Elle, just tell me a little bit about your experience when you first, like, came on this campus with people and all that and how, you know, you made friends and, like, became a part of the community.
Yeah, okay. So, when I first got my acceptance letter in T-Dub, I was not expecting it whatsoever. Like, it was such a shock. And so, I was like, do I really want to move to this huge city and start a new life for myself? And I was like going through a really rough time in high school and I was like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna do it because my senior year was just crap. And so going and moving to Seattle, I knew that if I did decide to rush and go through the recruitment process, I would pretty much be guaranteed friends. And I think that's why I decided to do it, because I didn't know how much luck I would have just going in by myself and like living in the dorms, because like I feel when you live in the dorms you're not really guaranteed to like love your roommate. I feel like it's really hit or miss. And so I knew that if I did rush and I did get into a sorority, I would have options because there's a bunch of different people with a bunch of different personalities, and yeah, like that. And so when I signed up for formal fall recruitment and I decided to go through the process of rush, it kind of hit me quick as I was having these conversations with these girls in every house that this is not just a process where people go to make friends and make new relationships. It's something bigger than that. And I think it made me realize that it was kind of like a highly selective process, or like survival of the fittest, yeah. Even. That's how it felt. No, it's not all bad. And then it was kind of like those who were proven worthy would get the house they wanted or move on to the next step. As I was going through the process and I would hear these conversations of these girls in the same group as me that would go into each house, they would be like, oh man, like I really don't want this house. They keep calling or asking me back, or, oh man, like, yay, the house that I really want is still asking for me back to come to the next round. And it was kind of just really like degrading in a sense, mm-hmm. when you didn't get the house that you felt an emotional connection to.
Yeah.
I started to realize that within the first 2 days, because we would wake up really early, probably like 7, and get to the houses by 8, and then go in and do like the selective amount of houses that were on our paper, and then at the end of the day, we would kind of rank which house we liked in the order. Yeah, so by the end of the recruitment process, I was given a bid by a house, and I was like, okay, that's good. Like, I got a house that I kind of vibed with, or that I felt like a kind of connection with the girls that I was talking to. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, all right, like, I'll try this out. Like, it wasn't a total bust. As soon as I did that and I started moving in, I was kind of, like, taken back for a sec. I was like, whoa. I am now a part of this whole new culture that I had no idea existed. And, like, before I even came to college, I knew nothing about the Greek system. Like, I was mm-hmm. like, oh, yeah, there's cool. There's, like, girls that do door chants and are super obnoxious and loud. And I was like, oh, there's frats and there's parties and whatnot. I'm like, oh, that's cool. But I was mainly just going because I needed friends and I didn't have anyone.
No.
But
it's okay. We've all been there.
But, yeah, once I entered and it was, like, freshman fall quarter, I started forming like tight relationships with girls in my PC. PC is pledge class. And so I was like, this is great. Like, these girls are like so much fun. Like, we can go out, we can party, we can like, we're all meeting new groups of people at the same time. Like, this is such a fun process. And I even got really close to my big as well, like my big sister that you're given. Everything just felt right. Like, fall quarter, like, I was in it. Like, I had these group of friends. Like, we're all just being silly and goofy, and we're going to school and whatnot, and we're just having fun with it. And then as the quarter progressed and, like, everyone kind of dispersed into their own cliques and their own groups, I started, you know, I was a part of this one group in the house, and I was kind of, like, it was a pretty, like, it was, like, a solid group of girls, probably, like, 6 or 7 or so. And I was kind of, like, the guinea pig. I was kind of the one that they would, like, make fun of a bit because I didn't like to fully, like, associate myself with this group. I kind of like to go around and, like, be friends with everyone. Like, I wasn't trying to isolate myself within this group.
Yeah.
So I kind of, like, stayed open to everyone else and, like, yeah. And then that went south, and then things with my house also, like, just, like, physical aspects just, like, started adding up. Like, it was super expensive.
Right.
And, like, we have these responsibilities and this commitment, these commitments that I wasn't really necessarily prepared for, and I never really took into consideration. And so I had this realization where I had all these commitments, and then things were going wrong with, like, the house physically. Like, it was, like, very old. And then also, like, the point system within the house of, like, what kind of room you got based off of if you went to events, and then just, like, my relationships with people. And I was like, oh, man, like, I don't think this is what I want for my full 4 years of college.
Yeah.
And so I decided that at the end of my freshman year, I am going to drop and move out into an apartment with other girls in the sorority who also were planning to drop. And so I did that, and here I am.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, I would not have the friends I have today if it wasn't for doing Rush, getting out of my comfort zone, and joining the sorority. I'm so grateful that I decided to take on the opportunity. I made such great friends, like, not only within the house, like, not even just girlfriends, but, you know, close guy friends that I have now, like, within certain frats. Yeah, I think it was definitely a cool and very interesting life experience, but I don't think it was, like, personally, like, based off of my personal preferences, like, I don't think it was for me.
Yeah.
So.
Then I wanted to ask you if you had any advice that comes to mind that you would give to college freshmen when they first came here about just, like, making friends and, you know, doing it, like, the right way or whatever.
I think going into college, I don't think there's any right way to do it. Like, I think that's kind of, like, setting, like, expectations for yourself.
Totally, yeah.
You don't want to do that and go through, like, the pressure of that. You already have probably enough pressure from your parents or family.
Yep.
But the advice that I would give is stay true to yourself, honestly. Stay true to who you are. Maybe you don't know who you are, really, or you're still figuring yourself out, so you need to go through these trial and errors of life. But honestly, like, just stick, like, say you're not heavily into drinking, and then you join a certain, like, you join the Greek system, and you start heavily drinking, and you're like, well, this fucking is not me.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, take a step back. As long as you still have that grip on yourself, I think you should just be confident in who you are. I wouldn't suggest, like, oh, like, you need to go through Rush, you need to join the Greek system in order to have fun in college. I don't think that is necessarily the answer. But I think it is a great way to make immediate friends because you're forced to live with these people.
Right.
And get to know them. But, and maybe if you're more of an antisocial person, this will help you step out of your comfort zone.
Totally.
But I think just for me, I think what it would help to just do things that make you, like that, like join clubs or join like certain groups that trigger you to step outside your comfort zone.
Yeah. I wanted to know how your relationship with social media has kind of changed since you got here, like, because I just know for myself, and I kind of, you know, mentioned this in another interview, but like seeing all of my friends' stories at other colleges really impacted the way I felt about my college. But I just kind of want to know if you had the same experience or like what that all was. Or maybe it got better. I don't know.
I did. I was very involved with it more freshman year, joining the sorority. And then once I was dropped the sorority, I kind of like I was getting, like, people who took my absence personally would unfollow me. And
okay.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Okay, gotcha.
But I would still, like, go about my daily life and, like, post things and whatnot. But I think now, going, like, I feel still invested in social media, but I don't post as often. And I feel now going on, say, Instagram and watching stories and videos and Snapchats of people kind of within the Greek life or party culture, because they still have a lot of them.
Right.
I do kind of miss that access, I guess, to parties to some extent. I do. Some days I do. Some days I don't. It depends on my mood.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm getting older. The more I get out of college, I'm like, all right, that looks like fun, but like only for like 20 minutes.
Right.
I agree. It is kind of like, oh, like I have FOMO. I'm missing out on this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When people post like Snapchats like, or Instagram stories at certain events and they're all together, and I do to some extent feel like I'm missing out, or oh man, I didn't like try enough to get to that point, or I should have just stuck through with it. But honestly, at the end of the day, I try not to take social media too seriously.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. It is, like, a huge factor in everyone's lives, but I try to realize, like, okay, I can put my phone down. I can chill.
Totally.
I think what I just want to add is everything that I had to say regarding the Greek system is based off of my personal experience.
Yes.
And it can be interpreted however you want. You can take it with a grain of salt. It does not matter. Just based off of what I've experienced. I know everyone has different experiences with it. Some people love it, and they're like, they wear the sweatshirts until they're 80 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have similar feelings to me. Some people absolutely despise it. I just don't like the divide that it creates between different groups of individuals and their worthiness in society. Yeah.
I love that. I know. I'm a Jeed. When I heard that they called us Jeeds, I was like, what? That's like kind of a compliment, but I know. There was just, that was one thing that left a sour taste in my mouth, for sure. Yeah. But I like that you said that, and you're right. I mean,
And
it's up to everyone's experience.
Awesome. Exactly. And I think just some people take it to the extreme of, they use it as a deciding commonality. Oh, you're not in a house? Ah, shit.
Yeah.
I can't talk to you.
Exactly. God, I got that at parties so many times.
Oh, my God. It's so rude.
I had guys come up to me.
Here?
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. Guys would actually come up to me and be like, so what house are you in? I was like, oh, I'm not in a house. And they would, like, actually walk away.
And it's, and it's real life, and it's fudged.
I do that all the time where I'm like, I should stop cussing and I'm just gonna turn this word around now. No, I love that.
And it's such a deal breaker to some people.
Yeah.
Some people are cool. Some people are like, oh, like, you're not in a house. Like, cool, like, how's your life?
Yeah.
And then other people are like, oh, you're not in a house. Yeah. I don't know if you're worthy to have this conversation. Right.
So I'm so glad I got to hear from Elle, because I think a good chunk of people have a very similar experience to hers, based on what I've heard from almost every single girl I know who's been in a sorority, and quite a few guys who rushed frats too, honestly. Just listening to her made me realize that no matter what route we choose to take in our college endeavors, we're all looking for generally the same few things, one of those being community. And although I tend to trash on the Greek system every now and then, sorry, I really should stop, because while I don't agree with everything they value, it is a great source to form friendships, whether they may be lasting or not, but it should be considered by everyone when attending college. So lastly, we have Annie, who is a grad student here working on her PhD in sociology. So based on all of your research and your personal experience with teaching, how does UW's larger class sizes and student body maybe differ or make it harder for students to engage with each other compared to other schools? And how do you think this dynamic can maybe be improved to allow for a more welcoming, like, classroom setting and overall better student connections?
You want me to just get at it?
Yeah, go for it. Just ramble.
Okay. You mentioned a couple of things. One, that the UW is really big. Mm-hmm. And because it's really big, we tend to have these huge classes, right?
Right.
These lecture-based classes where all of the students are facing forward, essentially like looking at a professor. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of opportunity generally in these classes for much interaction. And even if there is, it's generally not very depthful and not very long. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing about the UW in particular is that we have this quarter system that also means the classes are much shorter. So you have a 10 weeks to get to know each other. There are potentially other people that are in the class, as opposed to schools that are in the semester system that have 16 weeks, or the Evergreen State College, which is where I taught for a year, which had classes for a year long.
Oh, no way. I didn't know they even did that at colleges.
Yeah, so that's, they have great year-long classes where you're with the same small number, right, because it's a liberal arts school,
okay,
about 40 students. And so there are real opportunities there to get to know each other, and I think these are major hindrances for students getting to know each other within classes. But I think that despite that, there are actually opportunities. I think professors have to be really keyed in to how to create opportunities for students to get to know each other within the classroom.
Okay.
I've taught smaller classes, right? Classes that are about 20 to 50 students. So I am advantaged in having those smaller class sizes that allow some more, like, I don't know, allow for more creativity in what you can do within the class.
Uh-huh.
I think there's like this really nice combination of things, I think, allows people to make friends with each other in class. I mean, and you might not want to be friends with the people that you...
Right, yeah.
Right, you might not get along
but at assuming,
all.
Yes.
Yeah, but you're there because you have a shared interest, or at least you're there because you have a shared obligation to take a certain set
exactly.
of classes. So I think one is creating opportunity for interaction within the class. And the other is creating shared experiences. So we really can connect with each other when we have something that we are sharing, right? Some set of experiences. I was thinking about this morning. I was like, it's a terrible example. But people who are like in near-death experiences, like think that they're in a plane crash, right? Or the plane is going to crash, end up like bonding in this really significant way.
No, that makes sense. Yeah. I get it. Yeah.
You don't want to simulate a plane crash experience in a classroom. But the idea that students have something that they can connect with each other, I think is really important and overlooked. So project-based learning is one way that I've found that this works really, really well. And I can think of two examples from classes that I taught. One was a class called the Education Practicum in the Sociology Department. I taught that for about 2 years. And within the class structure, students are tutoring at public schools
Oh, cool. Okay. Oh, I've actually seen a few classes that had the description for like the service learning.
Yeah.
Yeah, where they did that. Okay.
Yeah. And because we're partnered with only about 5 schools, students are actually tutoring at a lot of the same schools.
So okay.
They're having these experiences of working with like kindergartners, first grade, second grade, third, fourth, and fifth graders. These are some of their experiences are really funny, some are really intense, right?
Mm-hmm.
but they have now, like, when they have that experience, they have, like, these shared experiences that they can then come back and talk about.
Okay.
And I think really allow people to feel connected to each other. I know that students who tended to tutor at the same schools, even if they weren't tutoring at the same time, will want to talk about, like, oh, hey, like, have you seen this teacher do this thing?
Yeah.
What about that kid in that class, right? Like, that kid did this the other day.
Yeah.
Can you believe that, right? But it just creates this, like, it creates a really incredible opportunity for students to engage with each other. As an instructor, I think the tendency is to control what's happening in the classroom. But I found this really great opportunity to have students come in and just say, you know, get into small groups, talk about what you saw this week in your tutoring site, and you just like let them free to talk about like whatever it is that they really want to talk about.
Nice.
So yeah, so having a shared experience, but then having an instructor or professor who can give space so that people are actually coming back and talking about that shared experience.
Okay.
I think is important. Not all classes have the ability to have something like that, right? Like a service learning component.
Right.
But as an English major, you probably see this, right? I think all classes have the ability to have some project-oriented something.
Definitely.
So when I taught the college experience, students were doing, it was really a qualitative methods class. I didn't tell people that. They just came in and I was like, oh, it sounds, you know, it sounds kind of sexy. You're doing like this college projects.
Yeah.
But in fact, it's a qualitative methods course. No one will
Less
take
sexy.
It.
Less
yeah,
sexy.
Yeah. No one's going to take it if that's what they think it is. But I taught ethnographic methods. So how to do observations, how to do interviews, right? On topics that students were interested in, they were generally, you know, about their own lives.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Lots of observations from parties at sororities or fraternities.
Nice, yeah.
I mean, not parties at sororities, actually. Parties at fraternities.
Right.
Lots of interviews with people in various types of clubs or who had different, who had, you know, an interesting sets of identities. So these really incredible projects that students were doing. But because they were all new to the methods, they were new to the interviews, they were new to the observations, I tried to give them also a lot of time to, you know, talk in groups and to work in groups, to develop interview guides, right? To talk about, like, they've just done all these observations, what are the things that they've noticed?
Mm-hmm.
Actually trying to get them to talk to each other if they, for example, wanted to study interactions in fraternities, for example, and they're not a fraternity member, right? To really talk to people within the class itself about, you know, hey, I noticed this thing. What do you think this means, right? And I think that was also, I mean, that's just another example. It's less service learning, but it is project-based.
Right.
And people are talking about their own lives, and they're talking about these shared experiences of doing these observations or shared experiences of doing these interviews. And I don't know, right? I only get people in this moment, and I watch what I think is people develop relationships with each other in the classroom. I don't know if that goes beyond, right? I'm limited in
exactly,
what I can see. So it's like, are they taking that further? And it's unclear to me.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you're doing projects outside of class, I think it is also a bit easier too, right? Because you're already getting together, you're already setting up meeting times, you're already taking this step.
That's true, yes.
To engage. And so taking one more step to be like, let's do this over coffee, or
yes,
let's do this and then go out later, right? Like something like that. I think
yeah,
it becomes a lot easier too.
No, that makes sense, definitely.
I was thinking about this on the way over. I was I went to a liberal arts college, so small.
Okay.
And I was in this class this year. There's, I think, is about 15 people. I have no idea what the name of the class was. It was an experimental class. And the professor came in the first day and was like, so this class, you are going to figure out what it is that you want to study and super what cool. and how you're going to do that. And then he left. And he left for 3 weeks, I think.
Oh.
Just to come back. Yeah, as someone who teaches now, I'm like, brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you set this up at this, like, unique pedagogical thing, but in fact, you have no work for, like, 3 weeks.
That's awesome, yeah.
But it was really interesting. We ended up doing a documentary.
Oh, fun.
Over a semester. It was super time-consuming.
I'm sure.
It was super intense, but we became so close.
Okay.
Because you have, like, the shared experience, you have the project,
yes.
you have the outside of class time, and you have a lot of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like those three things
yeah.
just are going to facilitate
definitely.
A greater connection.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't think that's possible.
At right. Like, well, right. Yeah.
99% of places would probably not let someone get away with doing a class like
mm-hmm.
that. But it was an amazing learning experience. I've seen a professor who is no longer here do something kind of interesting in a large lecture. He was teaching, I would say that his lectures must have been about 300 people. It was an intro sociology class. And the other thing that I think can stand in the way of students actually having interaction is technology. And I'm going to sound like a dinosaur when I say that. But I watch, even in my small classes, you know, I'll be like, all right, we're going to take like a 15-minute break. And it was like everyone pulls out their cell phone.
Right.
And it's hard for me to believe that there is something really pressing, right? It's like, I assume that like some of it is just like Instagram checking
totally.
And feeling uncomfortable.
Yes.
Having to initiate interaction. And so I think that, you know, these opportunities that students could have to connect, I really get lost because these like unstructured spaces aren't used in that way. And I'm totally guilty of this, right? Taking graduate
we
classes.
We all are. Yeah.
Yeah. This is like, or going out or
mm-hmm.
like having a moment when like I'm out with a friend and they're like, go to the bathroom and I'm like, phone out. Like, right? I can't.
Right.
Like,
right.
Like, what if I just sit here, you know?
Yeah.
So I understand the discomfort in that. The sociology professor, what I saw him do, I mean, I'm not sure how long he did this for or if he continued doing it, but he just said no cell phones, which is a policy that a lot of instructors have, but I think the policies that people generally have are about no cell phones, and then you go on break and you can take out your cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
His was not that. It was no cell phones. Period. Like, you just cannot have your cell phone out. And even when you take a break, don't take out your cell phone.
Wow.
He talked about it as, like, you should get to know the people who are in this class. And I think I only observed him teach a couple of times. But it did feel a little bit different. It did feel like people were abiding by that particular rule. And
okay.
It did force people to turn to each other and to chat a little bit.
Yeah.
At least. This is where I really feel like instructors can play a really key role. Because if I get up and I say, hey, listen, like, I hope you all talk to each other. I hope you all get to know each other. And I don't want you taking out your cell phones during break unless there's some urgent need, right? I'm setting up, like, a different norm. I'm making it okay for you to turn to someone and talk to them.
Yes.
Within the current context might not actually feel like appropriate or normal.
Yeah, no, totally. That's a really good point.
So I think like instructors have more, if they are thoughtful, can have more of a role in facilitating connection between students and letting the classroom be a space where those kinds of social connections can grow, or at least where they can start.
So I'm so glad I got to hear from Annie, because the reason a lot of students feel the need to look to clubs and Greek life and other outlets as a means to forming friendships is because the classes here for a large part are not super good at getting students engaged and talking to one another. And I think Annie did a really amazing job of pointing out some of the reasons for that being the case, as well as how to improve that being the reality. That wraps up today. Thank you everyone so much for hanging in there with me and clicking on this episode. Come back in 2 weeks for some cool tips and relatable complaints on the topic of studying in college.